Now?
Okay.
Just practice. So, like, you have one of these, right?
Yeah, but does it not make you nervous that you can't hear it or...
It does, but I don't know. I thought about, like, kind of doing the headphone thing with people, but I just think it looks silly. Do you like the headphone thing?
If I wasn't worried about quality control, I wouldn't wear them.
Yeah.
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 But it's easier to wear them. I don't wear it here on the live stage or whatever.
No?
Because you'd look like a dick.
Yeah, what are you doing over there?
Part of the proviso of me getting access was that I agreed to do live shows while I was here. So I said, what's the minimum number I can do? And they said two. And I said, okay, I'll do two. So I did one yesterday, one today, and now I'm done.
You don't like to do the live shows?
It's just like, it's just a kind of a weird place to be doing them in,
yeah.
I think. Like, sitting down, like, first of all, you're asking, so if I go around with my camera and I stop an athlete and say, hey, how is that workout, blah, blah, talk to them for 60 seconds, that's so little imposition on them. Whereas if I say to someone, hey, I need to borrow you for an hour and you need to come here and you need to, like, wait here before we start and talk to me afterwards or whatever, it's a lot, like, plus the quality of content is going to be less than, say, this scenario where it's like a kind of a private setup. It's going to be lower because you're at the mercy of, like, yesterday I did a show with Medeiros, Jay Crouch, and Willie George, and the audio is fucking awful.
Really?
And I can't do anything about it because I'm at the mercy of, like, the equipment that's there.
Does it make you feel, like, some type of way because it's associated with your brand?
Like, I'll probably delete it off YouTube in, like, a week.
Oh, okay. So, wait, let me get this straight. We'll intro the show real quick. Okay. Welcome back to another episode of the Counter Culture Podcast. I'm here with...
Peter.
From...
Coffee Pods and Wads.
There we go.
Most people know me as Pedro.
Pedro.
I'll answer to either.
That's what Savannah and them call you, right? Yeah. Okay, so do you have a minimum amount of shows that you have to do while you're here, but are you obligated to put them on your YouTube channel too?
Well, I asked GoWad to sponsor my content from Wadapalooza so that I could not have to pay for the flights out of my own pocket. And they agreed. And part of the proviso was that I do live shows on YouTube if I was able to do it. And we were able to do it. Today's was really good. I did one with Joshua Shama today, and the quality was, like, the sound quality and video quality was really good.
Yeah.
Yesterday, video quality perfect, sound quality awful. Couldn't control it, so I'm not dwelling on it.
Yeah. yeah.
For my own mental health.
How did you get a live show? They got Wi-Fi for you?
So Wi-Fi, and then I was kind of blessed because I'm good friends with the guys from Shut Up and Scribble, and they were planning on doing a live show. So I basically DM or emailed or whatever Wadapalooza and said, hey, is there Wi-Fi? Like, can we get Wi-Fi? They're like, oh, we're not sure if we're going to do that or not. And I was like, listen, you could have five people sitting in the audience and then that audio is gone forever. Like, it's just done. Or you could have 200 to 600 people watching online and it's better. Like, there are people that aren't coming here anyway, so it's better for you. So they were like, okay, yeah, we got it sorted. We have Wi-Fi. So we were able to do live shows with that.
That seems like a no-brainer because the people who can't come here want to see what's going on.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised about, like, competition organizers get weird about thinking that certain things are going to put people off coming. Like, they might worry that, oh, well, if we let them do all this stuff live and stream everything, then people might not want to come next year because they'd be like, oh, well, I can just watch it online anyway. But I don't think it really works like that. But I think that's what their fear is.
People like... The experience of being here, I think, is everything, right?
Yeah.
So, agreed. Dude, I need to ask you advice. We need to figure this out. How do you go about doing the brand deal thing? When did you start getting brand deals?
Initially, I think it was like Rain contacted me and said...
Like the energy drink?
Yeah, they were like... A UK branch of it or an Irish branch of it were like, oh, we really like your show. We'd love to blah, blah, blah. And this is like...
How big were you?
No, I'm like nothing. Like, I think I'd done like five shows.
Oh, shit.
And they were like, they said, hey, we'll give you what amounts to about $700 for the year. And I was like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. So I was like, yes, yes. Like, and then there was this big like contract and all this kind of shit. Since then, I've, like, obviously things have grown and developed, but I've also learned that, like, I've had conversations with brands who are basically, okay, I've got a couple of rules. I'll never, like, work with someone that I don't like their stuff,
yeah,
or that I don't use their stuff or drink their stuff or whatever. And then on top of that, it's like, so that's one bar that they have to cross. And then another bar is like, what are they like? Like, are they supportive? I say GoWad, like Thibaut that owns GoWad, or like part owner of GoWad, like we're really good friends. We talk to each other a lot. He believes in what I'm doing. He's not afraid to say that, like, you know, he'll give me whatever to do whatever. And yeah, it's great. And then I have similar relationships with like LSKD and others, where it kind of, all of them started with like getting on really well with someone. Like Jason Daniels that owns LSKD came on the show. We stayed in touch afterwards. And then it was like, any interest in sponsoring the show? I was like, yeah, cool. Like the thing I've kind of learned recently as well is that like the amount of money that someone like me would command is basically a rounding error.
What do you mean?
As in, they can write it off as like nothing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like
okay,
a company like LSKD or GoWad or whatever, it's just like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, fuck obviously, it. That's our taxes.
Yeah, like yeah, smaller companies, different story. But like, you know, I think you just have to, you have to, there has to be a return on investment. You have to be offering something back, whether that's regular content or diverse content or like diverse guests or, you know, big guests, big eyes, big ears, whatever on the show. But like, I don't know, I've kind of also started recently thinking like, I actually just don't give a shit. Like it's, yeah, if someone doesn't want to work with me, fine.
Yeah,
like someone else will come along. And if someone like Rad used to sponsor the show and then last year they were like, yeah, we don't want it anymore, it's just like, okay, no problem, I still like the shoes, you know. Yeah, like it's just not a big thing. But I think I'm probably blessed because I have a job. So it's not right, like I'm, you know, I need to pay my mortgage with this, luckily.
Yeah. Like, so you're a teacher?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. What, so you're a teacher, you have a full-time career. What made you want to do content? Have you always dabbled in it?
No, never. So I did, well, Tim Poulsen came over to Ireland for a competition and he was doing a seminar in our gym.
And he's this man, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. It was the year that he messed up event one of the games and got cut. Hmm. And I, like, we went out for dinner afterwards, like the gym owner and me and him and a few others. And I was kind of talking to him and I was like, hey, how do you not like just do overtrain rope climbs when you come back from that? And then I was kind of talking to him about like during the moment, like what was his what was going on in his head when he realized like, shit, I'm going to get cut after this. We're kind of chatting about it a little bit, and then he was like, nobody's ever asked me that like since it happened. And he was like, you know, I generally don't get asked questions like that. And then I kind of was like, geez, I'm actually probably okay at doing this. So then I started a podcast, just interviewed like my coach, like local people, gradually started more and more. Then lockdown hit, athletes had fuck all to do.
Yeah.
So I was getting replies to DMs from people like Vellner and like people I had no business talking to.
You were just called DMing them?
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I started a podcast, would you have half an hour, we could chat, whatever. And then it's just grown from there of like, you know, I think you kind of get trusted by new people because they see who's been on your show before. So
build
they
that
see,
social credit.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like the opposite of what you're getting by having me on your show. Because basically like, people see like, oh, he had Vellner on like more than once, so he must be okay. Or he had Fukowski on, so he must be okay. And then it came, I was here last year and I came like as a podcast last year and it was just like hard to get anything done. And it was like I kind of came away and I was like, I really enjoyed it, but I don't know what like I built from it. So then I was like, I need to diversify a bit. So then I said, oh, I could do a vlog. So
yeah,
I started doing vlogs and that's far easier. And then same thing with that is I kind of have a rapport and a relationship with some of the athletes so I can walk up to them and talk to them and it's not weird.
Yeah, you're friends already.
Yeah, and yeah, then other people see that and then welcome me over because they just saw me talking to Brent. They're okay with me going over to them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's sort of where I am now of just trying to diversify constantly and keep things, as many different things as I can, because it's probably unlikely, but if someday everybody stops listening to podcasts, at least I'll have a vlog to fall back on, or,
yeah,
or vice
yeah,
versa, whatever, you know?
What got you in the room with Tim Poulsen in the first place to like go get dinner with him?
He was just there. He was at our gym doing a seminar, and I was good friends with the coach, the owner of the gym, and he was like, oh, we're all going out for dinner. Do you want to come?
Oh,
that was
cool.
It. Yeah,
cool.
It's easy.
Was the plan to do like a CrossFit forward podcast the entire time? Do you do anybody outside of CrossFit?
I've had some like adjacent people, but still like with a toe in CrossFit. Like, but yeah, no, I think I really like CrossFit. Like really like it.
Yeah.
So
you're like a real fan of it.
Yeah. So I don't think I'm not as interested in anything else as I am in CrossFit, basically. So
okay.
I'd be forcing it if I was like, oh, I'm going to introduce maybe like a soccer player or something. I like soccer, but like, you know, if I was like, oh, I need to interview a basketball player just because he has a big following, it's like, I don't give a fuck about basketball. So.
Yeah, dude. I don't care about sports in general, dude. Yeah. And like when people, like I'd like to do CrossFit, but I could really give a shit about CrossFit, yeah. You know? The one thing that I am getting kind of interested in with this whole space is like the, and you could educate me on this, but like the Greg Glassman drama, the Sivan stuff, like why people are like, I don't know, why they hate him and stuff. That's the one thing that I am kind of like, oh, that's a little bit interesting. The NSCA, like, had it out for Greg, all that stuff. It, like, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah. No, it is crazy. I think there's a lot of stuff that, like, people don't realize, a lot of stuff people misinterpret, a lot of stuff people assume,
yeah.
And then it leads to, like sides on stuff, which is, I mean, drama's kind of interesting though.
Yeah, it is interesting, especially when I like think about, like, I always try to put it into perspective, like, this is a type of working out, like, why are you guys, you know, why are you guys taking it so serious, why yeah. Is it so, you know, just crazy. But anyway, who's like the best, who's been your most favorite interview so far?
It's kind of like asking someone like what their favorite song is or what their favorite movie is, like it kind of changes a lot. I had Sivan on pretty recently, actually. That was really good.
Yeah. I saw some clips from that. I thought it was good.
Yeah. I started doing, like, a, kind of a game show as well. That's going really well. It's fun. Yeah. I enjoy doing those. Favorite of all time. There's probably one of the times I had Don Fall on. They were probably, both of those were kind of, like, turning points of, like, first time I had him on, like, things really went on, like, an uptick. And then I kind of like maybe plateaued a little bit again and then had him on again. It went up again. Not like numbers or metrics or anything, just like personal belief on how things are going or like, you know, like how I view things and stuff just yeah. Kind of started going up again, basically.
Do you find like, has there been a time though where you had somebody on and you saw an uptick and it lit a fire under your ass?
Yeah, I guess like I had Fraser on like, maybe 18 months ago and it like it got huge numbers, but it almost has the opposite effect where like if you start chasing that, like unless yeah. You have him on every week,
right,
you know, like it's not gonna happen, or yeah. Unless you have him and then Rich and then Tia and that, you know what I mean, it's yeah. Not gonna happen. So like I did fall into that. I remember like years ago, like 3 years ago, whatever, I used to have a whiteboard with all the episode numbers and then how many people had downloaded them, and I'd update it every week. And I was like, this is going to make me want to kill myself. Like, I need to stop doing it.
You're just chasing numbers.
Yeah, like, I didn't even have a goal in mind, but it was like, if things didn't hit, like, I remember way back I always release episode on a Wednesday. And I remember if the episode on the Wednesday hadn't reached 400 downloads by the Friday, it was, like, somehow a failure or whatever. And, like, it was illogical because a week later it could be quadruple that, but it yeah. Was just, I had this deadline by Friday arbitrary reason. So yeah, once like I just kind of wiped the board off, I was like, fuck, this is retarded doing this, like yeah. So stupid. So I stopped doing that, and it just became more organic and more like, then you're not, if you're like, if you're chasing numbers, you're only going to have a certain type of guest on, or if you, right. You know what I mean, like you're going to be like, well, I can't have them on because they're not big enough. Like,
and you got to be able to have fun with it too, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
If you're stressing about, like, thank God I don't know like a lot of the people that, so at first Roderick was the reason that we got a bunch of the guests in the first place at Rogue. And I didn't know who, like, most of them were, you know? So, like, it didn't, but she, my girlfriend, she was like, oh, my God, it's so-and-so. And I'm like, I don't know who these people are. I just want to talk to them, have fun. Because yeah. I feel like, too, if I'm chasing that type of stuff, it would be so exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think as well, it's like, anyone can talk to someone who's media trained
yeah.
And get an interview out of them. Anyone. Like, anyone can talk to Matt Fraser and get some clips because yeah. He'll say something.
Did you like Matt Fraser?
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Like, yeah. He's just sometimes people like him can be a bit careful of what they say, and it kind of gets a bit frustrating.
Yeah.
But he's probably the easiest one to break through with that kind of stuff. Like, the easiest one to, like, crack a door and, you know, like, have a proper conversation of those people who are like that. Mm. Like, there's a lot of people who are afraid of, oh, I don't want to piss anyone off. I don't want to annoy my sponsors. I don't want to make my... I don't want this to become a clip next week.
Yeah.
That's going to, like, get me cancelled or ruin something or right. be talked about, whatever. But then they also forget, like... Like, shit like that happens, and it's people forget about it in 3 days.
Yeah, dude. That's why do you know Joe Neils?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was telling me, like, the rundown of, what's his name, Greg Glassman, like, what happened and all that. And I remember being on the outside as, like, a powerlifter. I was powerlifting before CrossFit, and the BLM stuff was happening, the COVID stuff, and Greg got canceled. And so somebody at my gym... It was during a deadlift session. Somebody goes, oh, look, the CrossFit guy is under fire or whatever on Twitter. I was like, who the fuck is that? And so we're, like, talking about him. Anyway, I just remember, like, hearing what he said. And I was like, that is fucking retarded. Like, I have said so much more foul shit than that. And every single one of my friends, black, white, Mexican, whoever, has said way worse shit than that. It's just because they're in, like, a higher position in life or whatever that people give a shit, you know?
Yeah, I kind of think that, like, people are just waiting for a reason or waiting for, like, they just wanted something. And then once there is that kind of mob mentality of once a few people gather in, then everyone piles on. And then there's a fear of, like, well, I don't want to be the one that doesn't speak up.
Yeah.
Like, so I need to join in so that, you know, if the shit hits the fan and he gets fired, I can be on the right side. And
that's
stupid. Yeah. It's, like, it is weird. And, like, it still happens now. Like, there's still... Like, I get it sometimes where I say something and I'm like, oh, shit, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. But, like, I don't know. If you start worrying about stuff like that, you're never able to relax or just, like, be yourself.
Well, dude, and long term, right? Like, I feel like people buy into authenticity so much so that even if you do say some foul shit, I think that's why people are ride or die for Zavon. Because he just says whatever. I don't think he thinks about everything that he says.
Yeah.
But he says it, and people don't give a shit because he is who he is, you know?
Yeah. Like, there has been... I've gotten loads of messages from people or had people say to me in person, like, how are you friends with him? How do you like him? How do you put up with him? Like, why do you hang around with him? Do you not think it's dangerous? You need to be careful, or you shouldn't invest so
dangerous?
Much in him.
Yeah. What's dangerous?
As in, like, I'll get like banished for something he says or whatever. Or like you'd be shocked at how many, and you'd be shocked at who have said it to me. And it's like, my answer is always the same. I cannot name one single person in my time doing this that has been more supportive, apart from, like, my wife.
Yeah.
Like, he's bought me shit, sent me shit, given me advice, come on my show when he doesn't do shows. He's, like, brought me on his show when there's no fucking reason to at all.
That's,
like,
dope.
He's crazy, crazy supportive. And, like, if you look at the reward that he's getting from his way of looking at things, he has now basically put together, through, like, organic just relationships, the best and strongest and most productive media team in the CrossFit space now. There's a group of, like, 14, 15 of us that are just, like, streets ahead of what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
But you still have people saying, like, oh, I don't know, man. It's like, open your eyes. Like, just look at the diverse content that he and the people around him are putting out. Like, he has Colton Mertens mic'd up this weekend for...
Yeah,
like,
with Ortega, right?
Like, fucking unbelievable stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. How did you like get hooked in with him?
So he came on my show about like 3 years ago. It's actually since been pulled down off YouTube because someone complained that he talked about the vaccine. that happened last week. So someone went back 2 years.
Really?
And like lodged a complaint with YouTube and it
People
was taken down.
People are so soft,
dude.
It's
crazy.
What the fuck?
So he came on my show, got on quite well. I had his number for some reason. I can't remember why I had his number. And then I was going to semifinals in Berlin, and I texted him, and I was like, hey, man, I'm going to semifinals. If you want any European-type input, like, just let me know. So he brought me on his show a few times when he's doing live shows about semifinals. And then after that, he came on my show again last January, got on really well. And then basically, like, a few times I did a show with someone and he, like, shared it, was like, shit, this is really good, like, on his show. Kind of stayed in touch. And then I was basically added to a group chat because I was following teams pretty closely last year. I might know some stuff about it. And since then, it's just been like, if he ever asks me for anything, I'll just do it. I'll just be like, yeah, no problem. And like, if I can make it work, I'll make it work. I've set alarms for like 3 o'clock in the morning to get up and go on a show. I've, you know, whatever. Like, if I can help, I'll help, because it's mutually beneficial. And like, yeah, it's just been rewarding. Like, he's, I think at the start, there was definitely an aspect, I said this to him last week, there's definitely an aspect of like, I clearly had daddy issues and didn't realize I did. I like, I was trying to impress him.
Saw the clip.
Yeah,
that you guys,
that's since become like just mutual respect, I think. Like, yeah. And he's just, he's by far and away the best interviewer in, like, one of the best interviewers full stop, and definitely the best interviewer in CrossFit. So like, if hanging around him gets me even slightly better, like, I'll do it. And like, if I can help, I'll help, you know?
It seems like he really likes to surround himself around people that have a hustle mentality or a grind mentality.
Yeah.
And yeah, so how much content do you put out a week?
I do one audio episode every Wednesday and one game show episode every Thursday. And the game shows are always live on a Wednesday night on YouTube, and the audio episode just kind of depends. Once I have it for Wednesday, it could be on any day before that live on YouTube as well.
But then you also do the Instagram like reels too, right?
Yeah, they're kind of ad hoc, like whenever I have time, which isn't a lot.
Okay.
I did get into a period for a while of, oh, I need to put out something every few days, every whatever.
Yeah.
I do try and do a show, do a reel about every show, but it honestly, there's no time. Like, there just isn't enough time. So I just kind of, if something it feels particularly pertinent, I'll try and make a clip out of it. But like, my kids go to bed at like 7:30 p.m.
Yeah.
I'm never at home without my kids. And I'm at work until whatever, like 3. So I basically have 2.5-3 hours every evening to try and get training in, maybe do a show, try and edit something together, spend time with my wife, like decompress. So it's a lot to fit into like 2 hours. So I think I'm hoping from next fall, I'm going to do like this thing in Ireland, you can do it like job share. So basically I do week on, week off teaching with someone else.
Yeah, sweet.
And I guess I lose like half my wages, but because of tax, I end up with like, you know, 2/3 of it. So
okay.
It's not too hard to bring it up like.
Where do you get like that hustle mentality from though?
I think from that group, I think mainly it's like, it's a constant, like Savan said on my show last week, that like, there's this thing of like, let's see if we can run with these horses, like that everyone seems to have in the group, where it's like, oh, that guy's doing really good. Fuck, maybe I need to do better. Like, maybe I should change what I'm doing or whatever. I think that has a lot to do with it. I think initially, when I initially started, I was like, all right, I need to have an episode every Wednesday. So then that kind of puts pressure on to not miss out and to not get lazy or complacent.
Yep.
I see a lot of podcasts start at the same time I did and just like disappeared because they're like, oh, I'm going to take a break for a while. And then it's hard to get back in.
Yeah.
So I think, that was the initial thing of like, I need to keep going. Then when I started getting noticed or like, hey, that was a good interview, then that was a fire to be like, all right, you need to really push on now. And then anytime anything good happens or anything gets noticed, instead of like Rollo said to me there a few minutes ago, he was like, hey, what a difference a year makes. And I was like, yeah, I don't think about it too much, to be honest. He was like, why not? And I was like, I don't want to get complacent. I don't want to get like lazy or like, oh, I've made it. Which, I mean, even if I was incredibly arrogant, I still don't think I have made it. So to say that would just be fucking moronic. But I have improved a lot since last year, and things have grown and things have improved. But I still very, very rarely sit and think, man, this is great.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'd worry that that's the time where I'd say, man, this is great. Maybe I should take a couple of weeks off and just like enjoy it or whatever. And then it all falls to shit.
Do you ever like sit and just give yourself some more credit though?
No, not really.
No?
No.
Why not? Why not?
I think that's an Irish thing.
Ah.
Like, we don't accept compliments. We don't give compliments, really.
Yeah.
We don't sit well with praise. We don't praise ourselves. Like, yeah. Saying if you say, like, oh, man, I'm really good at this, people will think you're an arrogant prick, so you just don't say it.
I'm super weird with compliments, too. So if somebody gives me a compliment, I just kind of like, I'm like, okay. But I like to give them a lot, you know. I think something that you said, though, that's really important is just, like, the group that you're surrounding yourself with, right? Like, if everyone else is doing good, you're going to also want to do good. You can't be like, the flat tire of the group.
Yeah, well, it's like a rising tides thing.
Yeah.
Like, as Hiller completely misspoke on his YouTube last week, rising ships raise all tides. I think if everybody's working hard and everybody's increasing the quality of their content,
yeah,
then everybody has to increase the quality of their content, and yeah, everybody has to work hard. So it only has a positive, it's like the snake eating itself, but in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, so another thing that you said that resonates with me a lot is like the applying the pressure, right? Like, I'm somebody who does really well under pressure. I might get stressed out, but I'm like, fuck, dude, I got to set deadlines too. So every week on Thursday, that's when I release the show. And now that the new year came around, I'm not a New Year's resolution guy at all, but this year I was like, okay, two shows a week, have to do it. And if I don't do it, I know I'm going to just be fucking just running circles in my head. Yeah.
I think like once it has to be attainable, like you, like, it would be very easy for me to slip into a thing of like, well, Savan does a show every day, so maybe I should do a show every day.
Yeah.
It's just fucking stupid. Like, I'd run aground so quickly.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, like, whatever you do has to be attainable. It's basically similar to CrossFit. You have to be on that threshold all the time. Like, if you're not uncomfortable, if you're not, like, scrambling a little bit,
yeah,
but you don't want to be, like, treading water and failing and, like, then beating yourself up because you didn't do this, that, or the other, you know?
Yeah. What, why live? Why live shows?
So Savan was doing live shows, and then he was coming on mine, and I never did live before, and I was like, fuck it, I'll go live for his one. He kind of said it half-jokingly, and I was like, yeah, okay, fuck it, I'll do it live.
Yeah.
And then I did it live, and I'd always been afraid of it. I'd been afraid of, like, oh, what if people are, like, you know, slagging off in the comments or, like, you know, talking shit or whatever, or what if nobody watches? What if it's just me and, like, a zero in the corner?
Yeah.
Like, that's so embarrassing because if the guest looks up and says, fuck, I'm wasting my time here. And then he came on and I was like, how have I not been always doing this? Like, it's so much easier.
Was there
it's
a lot so of viewership much, too?
Just say it again.
A lot of viewership?
Not even, like, it was never like exploded or anything, but like, I don't know if this is true or not, but I kind of feel like if you have a live audience, that means when the video populates on YouTube, there's already views on it.
Yeah.
So it has to help the algorithm as opposed to starting on zero and slowly ticking up one, two, three. If it's starting on like 400, surely it has to be positive.
Sure.
So that plays a part. But I think mainly it's just like, it keeps it freer and looser. And I used to say to the guests coming on, hey, it's not live. Like, you have a week to review it and say, oh, maybe take that bit out. Because I thought that was the right thing to do. And I thought it would make them speak freer because they knew they had this kind of editorial privilege afterwards.
Sure.
And then I kind of realized, like, it's actually fucking stupid. Like, we should really just say to them, hey, it's live. Whatever you say is out there. Like, good luck and just see what happens.
Yeah.
That's how you find out what someone's really like.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they can, you know, I actually can't remember who it was, but I remember about 2 years ago having someone on and they said something and they said, oh, actually, shit, can I say that again? And I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
And like, it wasn't live. So they were just like, oh, I know he's going to edit this afterwards. And then I had to go and find that fucking piece and take it out so that they didn't look bad.
Fucking sucks.
And I remember once I had someone on like a long time ago and he told me a story and it was absolutely incredible, like mind-blowing story about being kidnapped and held hostage and all this kind of shit.
A CrossFitter?
Like, someone involved in CrossFit, yeah.
And
I was like, fucking hell. Like, best story that's ever been told in the show. And then he texted me the next morning and was like, hey, can you take that out? I'm pretty sure I have an NDA on that and I'm not supposed to talk about it.
What?
And I was like, okay. And I like, took it out, but
damn,
that was live. Everyone would know it now, so.
Did that crush you?
It was disappointing, like, I was, like, already picturing the clips and how good they'd be. But, you know, people first, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so, right? Dang, dude, that's tough. So, okay, you're going to do job share. Is there a point where you feel like you'd be comfortable jumping just to do podcasts? Or do you even plan on doing that ever? Is that in your mind?
It's the finances.
Yeah.
Like, I have two kids, another one on the way, a mortgage, a wife, like, bills. Like, my... The good thing about my job, I essentially can never be fired from my job unless I, like, you know, literally commit a crime that... You know what I mean?
Really?
Like, it's not performance-based.
Oh, okay.
Which you would... realize pretty quickly if you saw some of the people that teach. No, but it's like
in America, dude, Milwaukee MPS, Milwaukee school, holy shit. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so. No, you can't, like, my pay goes up incrementally every year regardless of my performance. There's no review
way.
On what I'm doing. It's
what?
Just like, oh, you've been teaching 5 years, more money. Oh, you've been teaching 6 years, more money. Now, it's not a lot. I earn like shit money.
Yeah,
but still, to cover that money from the podcast plus the security of, like, that job gives me a pension. It gives me, like, I pay into a fund so that if I, like, get cancer or fall down the stairs or something, my wife won't suffer because of that. Like, she'll have money coming from me.
Yeah.
So, like, that kind of stuff is irreplaceable from a podcast standpoint, unless someone came in and was like, oh, we'll give you fucking $1 million a year, which, like, isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's what holds me back is the finances. And, like, my wife kind of and I have talked about it of, like, I can basically do whatever I want once it doesn't put a strain on our finances or our relationship.
Mm.
It, like, outside of that, she's fully supportive once it doesn't impact either of those two things.
What, like, what's the most impactful thing on the relationship with the pod?
I was going to say travel, but I don't really travel that much. I'd say probably my phone and social media, I'd say. Because, like...
Nasty comments and shit?
No, like, as in being on my phone.
Ah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Having to do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just making a clip real quick. Or, oh, I gotta go and edit something. Or, oh, we're talking about such and such a thing is happening or whatever. I know that annoys her. But the unfortunate thing about it as well is that, like, in our evening time is when the rest of, like, the main chunk of the CrossFit world is just waking up.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's when all the stuff happens. So
yeah.
That kind of makes it tricky, you know?
So do you plan on, like, before ever, like, letting go of it or, like, quitting your job, you plan on, like, maybe hiring somebody to help you out with that stuff?
I've had, like, I don't know. I don't know if I... It's going to sound really pathetic, but I don't know if I can relinquish control.
No, I get that. I get, like, that.
I, like... It's not... And it's not even a thing of, like... like martyrism. It's not like I want to be suffering and I want to be tired and I want to be like whatever, but it's just like I just have, sometimes I spontaneously get an idea to do something and I want to be able to just do it. I don't want to have to run it by someone, or I don't want to have to ask someone, like, hey, can you do this thing, and do you understand what I mean, and, you know, like, no, that's not what I meant. Like, I had someone message me a while ago say, hey, I can make clips for you for your show, and I was like, all right, sure, make one and I'll see what it looks like. And, like, it was fine. There was nothing wrong with it, but it's just not what I want.
Yeah.
And then you have that awkward thing of, like, sorry, it's not, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, thanks.
Yeah, just break their heart.
Yeah.
Dude, it fucking sucked. Take it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was shit.
Yeah. Well, dang, dude. All right, cool. I think that's a good place to end it. So
cool. Thank
you so much for being on the pod, dude. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Fully.
My pleasure.
What else you got to do today?
I'm going to go now and try and get some footage of the ladies, because I got no footage of the ladies yesterday. I only got footage of the men, and I just feel like a bit of a masochist, whatever the opposite of a feminist.
Misogynist?
Is. Misogynist, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with misogyny, dude.
Yeah. So I'm going to go and try and do that, and then basically vlog for the rest of the day. Go home, try and edit a vlog and get out an individual Wadapalooza, tier Wadapalooza vlog tonight.
Yeah.
And then do a team one tomorrow and the next day.
Are you doing vlogs every day?
No.
No?
So I did that before, but I realized that the payoff isn't worth the stress.
Got it.
People will watch the first one and the second one, and then it dips where people lose interest. So I'm going to do an individual one for 2 days and then a team one for 2 days.
Nice, dude. Well, hey, thanks again for being on the show.
No problem.
Like, subscribe. You're the YouTuber here. Should I say anything else?
Thank you. I don't know.
Coffee Pods and Wads. Go subscribe.
Thank
like
you.
Your shit. We'll see you in the next one.